Let me call to order the Monday, March 1st meeting of the Mount Pleasant Town Council Transportation Committee. We have a published agenda that you all have access to. Item number two on that is approval of the minutes from the February 1st, 2021 meeting. Do we have a motion?
Approval.
Second.
Motion to approve in a second. We're in discussion. Howard, I just wanted to ask, in looking over those minutes, there was a lot about a lot that was said and a lot of your input, and did it all track?
Well, I had, there was one thing, two things. One is Mr. Likens was called My Likens during the, near the end, and there was something that I suggested, but there was a two, the word two missing, suggested to send, I think is what it said. So, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Kathy, but those two things need to be changed.
Why don't we just do that by motion to, we got, y'all know what he's talking about? Okay, put that in the form of a motion, those two things as mentioned.
Yeah, I move the two things that I mentioned be revised and need a second, I guess.
Yep, do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right, this is on the amendments. All in favor of the amendments, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, now, all in favor of approval of the minutes as proposed, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, passes unanimously. Item number three is public comments. If you're here to make a public comment, please come forward, name and address, and two of the most wonderful minutes in the town of Mount Pleasant. Hi.
Hello, how are y'all? I'm Katie Zimmerman, Executive Director of Charleston Moves, and I wanted to just give y'all a little bit of background on one of the items that you have for discussion today, which is the restriping of the Isle of Palms connector. As you may or may not know, safe bicycle and pedestrian access was identified on the connector in several plans over the years, including Walk Bike BCD, which is the Tri-County Master Plan for biking and walking. And most recently, SCDOT passed its Complete Streets Engineering Directive. And the way that engineering directive is going to work is they're going to be leaning in to those master plans passed by Council of Governments and MPOs. So Walk Bike BCD is now elevated. It was already relied upon, but it's now elevated even higher. So just so that y'all know that as background. Last year, unfortunately, we were reminded once again that South Carolina's portion of the National East Coast Greenway Trail is the most dangerous portion. That runs from Maine to Florida, and South Carolina consistently has the highest amount of fatalities and injuries along our segment. We had two fatalities within a short span of time last year on the Greenway in Charleston County. One was on Savannah Highway. That was a high-profile incident. A gentleman named Chris Cotton was hit and killed from behind. He had his dog with him. Charleston Animal Society rescued the dog. She's doing great, by the way. Mm-hmm. The other incident that happened that y'all are very well aware of is Captain Wayne Magwood. That happened on the East Coast Greenway. So when those things happened, we reached out to DOT leadership and asked to have discussions about what can be done to improve the safety of the Greenway. They took it one step further and started having regular meetings with us and the East Coast Greenway Alliance and municipal planners as well. And they said, let's take a look at where the low-hanging fruit is along the entire South Carolina segment. So where are we going to be out working on projects where we can also take a look at improving safety for bike ped while we're out there? Isle of Palms Connector is one of them because the agency was going to be out there anyway working on pavement marking, remarking. They needed an update. So they put together the plan that y'all have probably seen, which is a wonderful plan because what it does is it connects to what you all have already done on the town side, which is multi-use paths on each side of the roadway, which is also identified in Mount Pleasant Way as important leading up to the connector. The most important thing about this is it provides enough space for everyone, including emergency vehicles, And it eliminates that bidirectional conflict that we see on really wonderful routes like the Ravenel Bridge, Wonders Way, which I took to get here today. There's just not enough space. It's too popular. It's a lovely problem to have, but people have gotten severely injured.
And Katie, just to keep me out of trouble, you're probably at 2 minutes, but
all
we
right.
can ask you when we get to this, we can ask you some questions. Is
That's
that all right?
So I will wrap it up. I'll be quiet. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you being here and appreciate your input. Yes, sir. Mr. Santos.
Gary Santos, 1690 Greystone Boulevard. I'd just like to echo the comments that Katie made. I'd like to also say that I really appreciate the work that Brad and his team has been doing. Like she said, we've been talking about this for about a year. We've gone back. It was very dangerous to ride over that connector the way it is now. There's nothing that lets a driver know that he's moving out of his lane to come into the bike lane. And I used to ride it all the time. I finally had to stop riding it because 55 miles an hour is way too high for cars to be passing people who are walking and biking. And there's just a lot of other issues. I won't go to it. I think she described it really well. The good thing is, Ms. Hall recognized it. She put it as a priority. They're already working on it now at night, so it's already happening. But it's gonna be a green lanes on either way. There's nothing that's gonna stop a helicopter from coming down and landing if it has to. I've already talked to both of our police chiefs, Chief Mixon and Chief Ritchie. Both of them said they have no issues getting over there the way they have this thing set up. So it's really going to be a big benefit for our citizens and the citizens of Isle of Palms, because they're going to fix that one little area over there that's dangerous to get on the connector from there. So it'll hopefully encourage more people to ride bikes instead of drive cars. So I'm 100% supportive of it, and I think it's going to be a great benefit. When we do our big riding area that we have in the Mount Pleasant Way, that's going to be a part of that as well. So it's going to really be a nice asset for the town. So I just want to say that I support all the work that Katie has done and appreciate Brad and his team helping us out with it. Thank you.
Gear. Anyone else? Last chance for public comment. All right. We will close that section and move on to item number 4. Discussion with regard to the restriping of the Isle of Palms connector. I think one of the reasons we put this on here is not that we really stand in authority over this, but we wanted to do our homework and hear from our, right, Howard, we wanted to hear from our first responders. Would you like to kind of set this one up for us?
I would, Mayor. And Mayor, I have no reason to bring this up except for in the editorial of February 19th, Town of Mount Pleasant was said to have embraced or to have voted on this. I don't remember making a vote.
We didn't.
I don't know if any of the other council members did.
Nope.
But, sometimes editorials have some liberties with them. I will be the first to say that I worked on the bicycle plan for the Charleston metropolitan area back in the 1970s, the late 1970s. I own a bike. I ride my bike. I'd rather be out there riding it now than here in this meeting. But we didn't vote, so that needs to be put to bed. Number two, Mayor. In 1975, I held a public hearing on Sullivan's Island about a high-level fixed-span bridge on Sullivan's Island. I about got run out of the room from all the people that showed up. And at that point in time, Chats changed its location for a high-level fixed-span bridge to the Isle of Palms. Now, at that time, there was no location planned of bringing 526 in there. They had to change that. There was a lot of talk about where the funds were going to come from. I worked with Representative Dangerfield for many years when he was chairman of the Roads and Bridges Committee to try to figure out a way to build a bridge to the Isle of Palms. What finally happened is Hurricane Hugo came. Hurricane Hugo, you know, knocked out the Ben Sawyer Bridge. And we all remember the picture of the Ben Sawyer Bridge at a 45-degree angle. 2 weeks before Hurricane Hugo, Isle of Palms voted, finally, because they didn't want a bridge either, finally voted to go ahead with it. Receiving requests from the Washington Post in Charleston about what projects transportation-wise could be done. Mayor Riley turned to me and said, you know, what do you think? What transportation projects? I said, there's two, Mayor. There's two. One is our traffic signal system was in terrible shape in Charleston from Hurricane Hugo. The other was I've been working with Representative Dangerfield, with Senator Hollings, with, at that time, Congressman Ravenel, to do the necessary writing of legislative history, which you got to do to spend federal funds. I said, we need $15 million for Isle of Palms Connector. That was put in the Washington Post. And right before Thanksgiving, the Federal Highway Administrator and the Secretary of Transportation came to Charleston with the money to build the Isle of Palms Connector. In 1993, I was asked by Representative Dangerfield, whose name is on that Isle of Palms Connector, to be chairman of the committee to open that bridge up. I was able to get a large number of people, including Hollings, Thurman, Ravenel, and also brought the new administrator, Federal Highway Administrator, Rodney Slater, to that grand opening. And I'd helped Representative Dangerfield write his speech. And he told me, he said, I'm not sure I can give this. I'm not sure I can not break down. Two sentences in, he did break down. And I had to go read his speech for him on the Isle of Palms Connector. So I know a lot about the Isle of Palms Connector, and I am in favor of what DOT did, but we didn't endorse it. Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. But that bridge is owned and operated and maintained by DOT. It's their job to put lanes on that bridge. It's their job to determine what has to happen with different modes of transportation. But it's our job to make sure, as for loss prevention insurance, that our public safety officials are trained now to make sure they can get on that bridge in a safe manner and to counteract what former Fire Chief Ann Graham said in her op-ed piece. You know, it's been said that now we've got 13 feet on that right side that the emergency vehicles can go on. In looking at driver decisions, whenever you hear a siren and see blue lights, your immediate response is to move over to the right. If that happens, when we got bicycles on the right and we got pedestrians on the right, you know, we might have a problem. I don't know. But I'd like to hear, I know Chief Mixon's here, I'm not sure if we've got anybody here from the police department, but I'd like to hear Chief Mixon help to make me feel better that we have a plan. That plan, if it happens tomorrow, he can safely, without any injuries to bicyclists, pedestrians, and or motorists, to get to where the problem is.
Okay. Brad? Well, thank you, Howard. I appreciate the background on that and all you did on that bridge, on that connector. It sure changed Mount Pleasant. Yes, sir.
Are we going to have the chief available? Okay.
I think the question is, can we adequately respond
right
to emergency? Good afternoon. Yes, Chief Ritchie and I spoke about this a couple of times. We've ridden the route. I rode it this weekend and looked at the new, looks like they've already done the center line. And the good thing is the width of the bridge hasn't changed, as you know. There's no firm barriers they're putting in place. It's simply restriping. So we feel that we can safely respond. And you're right, the natural nature and what we train people to do is move to the right. Even with that large median as they had before, I believe it was 10 feet. For a fire truck to respond, if it was stopped traffic, those cars may still need to move to the right. So with that smaller median, we would still like the cars to move to the right. And we'd have to be careful to make sure that, you know, we're not responding in a manner that kind of forces them over too quickly. But Chief Ritchie and I both feel that we can still get over to Isle of Palms effectively. They can come to us if it's needed. And that this really doesn't change our operations other than letting our people know, training them that, hey, this new restriping is in place. Here's some things to consider when you're responding over to Isle of Palms if there's heavy traffic. But we don't have a concern. We believe we can still get there effectively and safely. And that's really all I have, unless you have any questions.
I do have one question.
Please.
Mayor.
Yes.
And that is, you're not going to use that 13 feet on the right. You're going to still go down the center, and as people move over, there'll be the 10 feet or whatever you need. So I'm glad to hear that, because yes, one of the comments I got from, and I'm not going to name names, was that, oh yeah, they can go down the 13 feet side and get there faster. Well, that would not have worked. I know that.
Yes, sir, you're right. And we could access that if it was absolutely necessary, but as you stated, people, they're trained, and that's their natural proclivity to,
yes,
move,
sir,
to the right. So if we're going down that lane, they hear sirens, they're going to be pulling to the right. It's going to create a whole confusion. So the best method is to stick with what we preach. We go down the center as much as possible. They move to the right, and we pass safely, and then they come back into the lane of traffic.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Chief, the question I had, obviously, if our trucks fit, the Isle of Palms trucks fits, but we have aid agreements.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so much worried about the striping of this, but any different flow or volume of traffic that the island has when they're coming to help us, because we're counting on that as well. And this past weekend was a reminder of what can happen to traffic in this area.
Yes.
So is there any, you know, I doubt that it's this, but is there anything that we should be addressing in that regard, so that when we're counting on their aid to come to help our citizens, that they can, on a beach Saturday when it's at 85 degrees, can get here like we think they're going to?
Well, you know, they just named a new fire chief. I've yet to reach out to him, but I definitely think it's something we sit down and talk about. I don't think there's an issue with them getting,
okay,
to us. I mean, and I was over there this weekend and kind of saw firsthand, wow, the traffic situation. But I do want to sit down with him and make sure there's nothing we can do. But I don't think this affects them
at all.
I think it's a similar situation. They would be able to get to us. It may be a little harder for them. But once they get onto the bridge, I think they'll have a straight shot with the width of the bridge and everything, and people being able to move out of the way.
Great. Committee? Any questions? Howard?
Yes, sir, Mayor. You know, there's a lot of issues here. When I saw that DOT was going to be putting paint on the Isle of Palms connector, I thought that it might be an opportunity to go back to them and say, you know, US 17 from Darrell Creek Road all the way to the bridge needs new striping. And I've been asked for them for about a year, mm-hmm, to get that done. Well, Peak Pavement Markings is out there doing that work. And thanks to our district engineering administrator, Tim Henderson, DOT is now committed, because they are already out there doing striping, that they will do the striping on US 17 all the way from Darrell Creek Road to the Ravenel Bridge before April 1st, weather permitting.
Wow.
So sometimes you got to make lemonade out of lemons.
Sounds like a lot of paint.
It is a lot of paint, but they're going to have a lot of paint on that bridge too, so might as well use it for 17 too.
Thank you. So Brad, were you going to take us through a little bit of this, the details, or is that it?
turn on my mic.
Going back.
I did not intend to. Okay. I just offered that as if we got into any kind of detailed discussion on the cross section.
Just go back to it real quickly, yes, if you can. So the center lane is that we see right there is what you're talking about, Chief, where our trucks will go and everybody's first responders will go for all of that. One of the details I'm not clear on, and is it in this picture, is there some kind of barrier that keeps the car, the bike and pedestrian track, so it's still kind of what it is now, what Gary was talking about?
Yes, sir. It's called a buffered bike lane. So, mm-hmm. you know, the more you can delineate something for the driver, they know where they need to stay, the biker knows where they need to stay, the pedestrian knows where they need to stay. So there's no physical restriction, but it's a visual reminder to stay in your lane. So there's no okay. barrier.
There's no physical restrictions
no,
anywhere
sir.
On that.
Okay. No, sir.
All right.
I just have a quick question.
Ma'am.
How do you go about educating the public when it comes to this? I'm just curious, because that is a big change.
I think that we would have some discussions with the department once when they get close to rolling, you know, being finished with the markings. Just to, I mean, most of it should be self-explanatory. It's bi-directional. It has arrows, you know, not necessarily for the pedestrians, but I think that's a good point that at least for the pedestrians, we could say, you know, it's the intention that you could use, you know, walk with traffic in that direction.
So that wouldn't be on us. That would be on them to provide that kind of sort of maybe.
Generally would, but the town could help with our social media output.
Okay. It's interesting.
All right. Anything else on the IOP?
No, sir. Thank you for putting it on the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
That concludes item number four. Item number five, review and possible action with regard to scenic byway corridor management plans for Mathis Ferry and Long Point Road.
Yes, sir. And
Mark.
Just as a setup, last week I sent the draft final corridor management plans, we'll call them the CMPs, and you know, going back to last year when Mr. Chapman brought this before to the committee for a discussion, these are legislatively designated scenic highways, so that's the only protection they're really afforded. But one of the aspects of any scenic corridor is a management plan, and if you can adopt one, and that was a recommendation of the Scenic Highway Commission, was to afford it some more protection, would be to have a CMP. So we've produced two CMPs. We've got one final scrub kind of on an edit. But they do have some recommendations. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the qualities of the corridor. I think everybody's familiar with that, and just maybe more on the what the actions would be in the CMP. So that's kind of the setup. We have two, Mathis Ferry Road, Long Point Road, obviously. You see that the intrinsic qualities are listed here. Mathis Ferry Road is more known for its tree canopy and cultural and historic resources. Long Point has a lot of scenic and natural resources as well as a canopy for portions of it. And it also has some recreation historic resources along the way. So as Mount Pleasant's grown over the last 30 years or so, just more and more challenges, pressures, constraints kind of put on those corridors that they're feeling. And, you know, some of that's traffic related, others development related, the condition of the trees, et cetera. So those are the elements that our consultant looked at on what we can do to enhance or address the challenges and enhance the resource. We have done some things as far as traffic operations and other aspects go regarding the canopy, some operational improvements along the corridor, buffer requirements, part of our LDRs, our zoning code, sidewalks, and then some bicycle connection and pedestrian connections. But there are some recommendations as we move forward on doing some additional things that kind of will preserve and maybe enhance the resource. And I don't need to get into the details of the drainage, but we know we have drainage challenges on each corridor. We talked about that in another meeting today. And that's really just a lack of outfalls and design. It's an old farm-to-market road, never was designed really for this, just put ditches on the side of it. So there's some challenges there, but there's some opportunities we'll talk about in a minute, particularly with Mount Pleasant Way. But, you know, the resources themselves, the trees, we can begin removal of some of the invasive plants and vines. We did that maybe 8 or 10 years ago in a section up near the cemetery, and that turned out very well. And so those are some opportunities we have. And all of these, a lot of them are really within the reach of our own capabilities here at the town. Some are a little more intense, install curbing, conduct a tree survey, really to get an inventory and start talking about a tree canopy replacement. I worked in Tallahassee a few years, and they have 75 miles of canopy roads, a lot of them. And they had a pretty intensive tree canopy replacement program where they go in behind the existing trees and start planting new trees. So there's some challenges there with the DOT on that issue, but I think there's also some opportunities as long as we can meet clear zone. Related to kind of the operations and vehicles, establish some turnouts, increasing the width of the multi-use paths. A lot of this could be done in conjunction with an implementation of Mount Pleasant Way. We can enhance these resources through that project, both in drainage and recreational activities. There's a lot of opportunities for better signage, pedestrian crossings in the corridor. And really, and the marketing effort also could raise the awareness of the resource. So as far as next steps go, we're just looking to really get some a head nod from the committee that this appears to be in the right direction, and what we want to do. We want to go ahead and get these submitted to the department so they can get them officially on file as the town having two CMPs for these roadways. And then we'll start looking at ways that we can start attaining some of these action items through our own department, whether it be I know we can do the signage real quickly with DOT and some of the other aspects, and maybe even think about some of these action items being incorporated eventually into our CMP, which is our capital maintenance plan. So that's the next steps, but you know, I think the first step is really the adoption of the two CMPs.
Okay. Do we need a formal vote to adopt these?
I think we need to vote to allow Mr. Morrison to send these to DOT and be on the record that council endorsed the plans. And if I could just mention that several years ago, I tried to get the town to do this, and it didn't get done. But with the new council and Mr. Morrison, it did get done.
Good.
We were in serious chance of losing the designation for both Long Point and Mathis Ferry Road. So now that this is done, as soon as we can, we need to send it to DOT to get them to approve it so we don't lose that designation. And I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Is this, hold that thought. Is this at the point where we can approve what we have seen, or are you still in the drafting phase and want a nod to continue? Or is our vote today good for what you need to send?
The edits I'm talking about are strictly editorial. It's not content.
All right, so we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. Any further discussion?
Only to thank Brad for doing this and moving it along. It's about a year's worth of work, and it's certainly great. And so thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Any other? Yes.
I could just ditto exactly. I was so, it was beautiful reading it. And thank you, Howard, for bringing it up. Great work.
Great work. All right. I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Number six is update on ongoing projects.
Mayor, if I could just suggest on an item we've already gone off of, we didn't have police chief here at the time to discuss the Isle of Palms. So if we could just ask his comments quickly.
There it is.
So we don't.
Sure.
So we don't.
It's okay.
Miss his comments as well.
First of all, I apologize to you, Mayor, and committee for being late, and it's not like me, so my apologies, hope you accept that. And I know our good fire chief, already mentioned to you how we had spoke and feel comfortable we can still respond with the configuration that we have out here to any type of accident or emergency incident that we may have on the connector, as well as working well with the IOP police. If something were to clog things over the middle, you have agencies from both sides that can come in and get to an emergency. So I still feel comfortable about getting our emergency vehicles where they need to be, sir.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
I apologize for interrupting the agenda, but I just thought.
And we also know him well enough that if he had a problem with it, I bet we would have known it by now. Okay. So my likings, Mr. Likings, if you will take us through a few ongoing projects.
I sure will. Good afternoon. Last month, we spent a good amount of time talking about our big three projects, Patriots Point, Coleman Intersection Improvements, Billy's Wales, and Long Point Road. So I'll just briefly touch on the highlights on those projects. For the Patriots Point Gateway project, Mount Pleasant Waterworks begins their work tomorrow, relocating a force main, which will be out, help us when we go to start construction. We'll have that, that huge item out of our way. Right-of-way acquisition is still ongoing. We're making appraisals of the property values there. We have gotten our wetland permit, which is a huge milestone for us. And one thing we started doing on our projects these days is we're getting independent consultant and contractors to evaluate our cost estimates. And we did this for this project early on at the preliminary phase, and we were told that our consultant's estimates looked very good. And we have a consultant now doing a thorough review of our plans and cost estimates to evaluate those to make sure that we're in budget. So we're very hopeful that those numbers will come back within budget before bid time. I'm a little bit out of order here. Okay. Billy Swales. The NEPA document for Billy Swales is under review by federal agencies. The next big steps for those will be developing right-of-way plans and buying property for the road. And this month we'll be working with the Corps of Engineers to get that permit submitted. On the US 17 to Rifle Range Connector Road, design plans are 80% complete. Right-of-way acquisition is underway. We're working with OCRM and the Corps to complete the analysis of our wetland impacts and to address agency comments on our alternatives. On this project, we had an independent consultant provide cost estimates and reviewed the consultant's cost estimates, and we are getting a lower price from a contractor than we have budgeted from our consultant. So that's good as well. Park West Boulevard widening is also one of our big projects. The drainage installation is 99% complete. Final paving will begin the week of March 15th. Landscaping is currently being installed from the rec complex to the area near the Gray Marsh roundabout, and the project should be open for traffic in mid-April. I know last month I reported March.
Yeah.
we had been negotiating a contract time extension with our contractor, and after the meeting last month, I got back to my desk, and there was the change order for April instead of March. So that's okay. Where we are.
All right.
Had a little to do with that.
Yeah. So those are the biggies. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And that's really all I have for this month.
Thank you very much. Any questions on those or comments? None? All right. Well, we appreciate it very much. That concludes item six. Yes, ma'am.
I just saw something that has been on my mind because it was in the works. We had a change that the county was going to do to 41 that was going to make the flow of traffic better south, and it was going to be that continuous 41 and then the left hand. And I just wondered, because I know they're supposed to come out with their new plan in March or something, is it on the wayside now? It's not going to happen? Or?
No, it is. They were running up against a right-of-way issue with the Walgreens up at US 17. Mm-hmm. It is my understanding on last week, based upon last week's monthly meeting, that they have that resolved. It's working its way through the both attorneys' offices. So after that is done, it's bidding. They're bidding the project. So that will move forward. Yes, ma'am.
That's that continuous green T.
Yes, sir.
At Ralph's.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Boy, we've been waiting on that a long time.
Yeah.
And our funding that we authorized for the extra lane going down the interim alternative or interim traffic alleviation, is any of that applying to this or no?
I have to go back and remember. Yeah. I remember some of the initial funding we had in our CIP was for design, and that's, right. I think, what that funding went to. Right. They're funding all of the construction of that.
Yeah, I think we funded the design, and there was going to be another lane going south.
That was the concept, yes, sir. And then they came up with this CGT, which you mentioned, which is actually and it's a better design, actually. So I think we're getting a better product. But yes, sir, that was design funding.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else? Well, that completes our agenda, and if there's nothing else before this committee, we will stand adjourned.